Well, welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 13. And we have been learning about the regulations and the procedures associated with leprosy. And before we dive into to verse 47 of chapter 13, I want to talk with y'all for a little bit about what we can see when we think about leprosy and what spiritual principles we can glean from that. Oftentimes you'll hear leprosy compared to sin. And, you know, you think about what sin does. It can be so damaging. It'll leave a mark on you. It will. That's right, Breeze. That's a good word. It'll leave a scar. It can destroy you if you allow it. It can separate you. And I got to thinking about this afternoon. We're going to be reading about leprosy and garments. But you think about that sin. If it remains, it will be burnt. It will be. You know, sometimes people want to sugarcoat this, and I used to be one of those people. You've only got two choices. You either choose eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you choose damnation and hellfire. There's no gray area. It's one or the other. But you think about the sin and the damage that it can do. And so I wanted you to be just aware of there are spiritual principles embedded all throughout this book of Leviticus, even with our study of leprosy. And so it's, you know, at first glance, it seems like, well, how would this be, you know, applicable to us today? Well, I thank the Lord that we live in a country today where this type of skin disease is not rampant. But you know what? Sin is. And so we have to be mindful and careful of what we surround ourselves with. I mentioned that to you Tuesday, that I asked the Lord about the significance of the leprosy found in woven garments or even leather. And I know on the inside of me, I heard so clearly, be careful what you surround yourself with. So I will never not be able to read this 13th chapter of Leviticus and not hear that inside my heart. But leprosy can be compared to sin.
And in a way, to compare is just like leprosy was declared you unclean. Mm-hmm. Sin declares you unclean. A leper was put out of the camp. A sinner is out of God's camp, so to speak, and stays there.
Mm-hmm.
Only the priest determines if you're clean or unclean. Jesus is our high priest, right?
Yes.
So only Jesus can determine whether we're clean or unclean, and our cleanness comes through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior who forgives us of our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Once we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, we've made Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord, then we can come into the camp and be associated with God's family. Okay?
That's good. Okay, let's pick up with verse 47 of chapter 13. So right here, the garment also that the plague of leprosy was in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or the woof of the linen or of the woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed to the priest.
So the garment had to be shown to the priest. If there was a suspicion, then it had to be shown to the priest. Now you think about this, and Heather mentioned it earlier, how the Lord revealed to her, be cautious what you clothe yourself with. Just because religion accepts it doesn't mean God does. Just because the world accepts it doesn't mean God does. And so you have to be cautious with what you put on you, what you expose yourself to, so to speak, and take it before the priest. If there's any question about it, if there's any spot in it, there's something there, take it before the Lord and see if the Lord approves of it. And if the Lord doesn't approve of it, then don't put it on. Leave it alone.
That's good. You know, sometimes I try to imagine the scriptures, the Word of God, as I'm reading it. And some of you may have experienced this before. I know I have with some cleaning rags before. I don't know if it's little spots of mildew that gets in it or what it is, but no matter, and it's not dirt. No matter how many times I'm thinking of a particular rag, I've washed it or bleached it into submission. It does not come into smooth. I can't get rid of the specks. I can't get rid of it. So I imagine what this may look like in garments or leather or anything else.
You know, you think about it, Jesus is coming for a church that has no spot.
Yes.
No wrinkle. Nothing unclean. So we have to go before Him, and anything that's not there, anything that's not pleasing to Him has to be removed. But where there is no spot there, there is no uncleanness there. And again, I can't overemphasize this. You can't be clean outside of Jesus. And the washing of the water of the Word. In other words, we have to stay in agreement with the Word. Our belief system, our actions must agree with the Lord.
That's good. Verse 50. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut it up that has the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the 7th day. If the plague is spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in the skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen or anything of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt in the fire.
So, here again, dealing with the garment. And I note that he says active leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's something that has potential harm in it. Then that garment's to be destroyed. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things about it. I think about going back to the sin and the leprosy, and how sin takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and rewards you with death.
Yeah.
The end's not good. And this is the thing with playing around with things, clothing yourself with the wrong thing. you can take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and then you're not going to like the end results of it. Okay? And I think this is a lot of what, the principle at least, of what we glean out of Leviticus. When you look at this, we're not under the law. So obviously the law does not apply. You understand, with garments and with the priest inspecting and all these type things. Those things are foreign to us, aren't they? But the principle is very relevant. And that's what we have to glean from this.
Very good. Verse 53. And if the priest shall look and behold the plague is not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the wolf or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on the plague after it was washed, and behold, if the plague has not changed its color, and the plague is not spread, it is unclean. You shall burn it in the fire, it is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without.
Notice how many times it uses 7 days. 7 days, seven mm-hmm. days. Throughout the scriptures, if my understanding's correct, I see the significance of seven is a completion. In other words, when this is going to complete something, 7 days completed the inspection. Okay? And so this gives time to scrutinize. Now, if this thing has not passed the inspection, it's interesting that he says burn it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the ultimate destination for those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Mm-hmm.
They're cast into the lake of fire. Right?
Serious. And y'all remember how we talked about the warp being the vertical and the wolf being the crosswise. That can be confusing. Verse 56. And if the priest look and behold the plague is somewhat dark after washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the wolf. And if it appears still in the garment, either in the warp or in the wolf, or in anything of skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that therein, wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either warp or wolf, or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time, and shall be clean.
So there's opportunity here with things. You cut it out, and you put a new piece in. Or you wash it, and you wash it the second time. You know, it just, to me, it just shows the mercy of God given opportunity. I think about my own personal life, how many opportunities God gave me to come out of sin. He could have wiped you out on the first offense, you understand. But it's just shows the mercy of God to... God had rather salvage than destroy. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But for those who refuse to come to repentance, they seal their own destiny.
Yeah.
But His mercy is there, but we have to lay hold on that mercy and do things God's way and come clean with Him.
This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or the wolf, or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or pronounce it unclean.
So all these things that we've looked at is the protocol set by God,
yeah,
not by man. to keep the nation of Israel distinctly different from any other nation on earth. God wants the body of Christ clean, distinctly different from any other entity on earth. We're not to blend in to the things of the world, but we're to stay clean before God, clothed with righteousness. You understand? That's what the saints, if you look at the Revelation, he talks about the white robes, which is the righteousness of the saints. No spot, no wrinkle, nothing to defile, but we're clothed with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And his righteousness.
Okay. Well, when we move into the 14th chapter, we're going to be learning about the ceremonial cleansing of a leper and a leprous dwelling. So let's look at the first four verses. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And that the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop."
Now, you didn't bring the leper inside the camp to examine him. The priest had to go outside the camp to determine if he's clean or he's not clean. If he's clean, he's allowed in the camp. If he's not clean, then he's pronounced unclean to where he can't get back into the camp. Only Jesus can pronounce one clean or unclean. Don't you find it interesting that he was crucified outside the camp? What's he doing? He's bearing the sin of all humanity, which would have made him unclean. He's outside the camp. But he went outside the camp so that we could be made righteous to be brought into the camp. He went out to pronounce us clean by accepting his righteousness. Okay?
That's great. "And the priest shall command that one of the birds is killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field."
Now, there's a lot I don't understand here, and Heather and I have talked about this, what the protocol was, what God required by law. You take two living birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. That was what's to be used in the cleansing. So what's the significance of this? I can't give you the detail, okay? Other than there's a similarity with the two living birds to Leviticus 16 with the Lord's goat and the scapegoat. One's killed and one's taken away, okay? The thing that I know about hyssop is it's absorbent. So he's dipping this, okay? The thing with cedar wood, it's a wood that resists deterioration. It's strong. has a pleasant fragrance to it, doesn't it? And when you look at the scarlet, which would remind me of the blood of Jesus, okay? Now, the thing about all this is this, they're dipped. Without the blood, there is no cleansing. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Right? And so I think about all this and how Jesus has fulfilled all these things. He's absorbed our sin by becoming sin for us, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. And His strength, His endurance, His fragrance. Do you understand? And then how He died so we could live. It's pretty interesting when you look at it from that perspective. But all this, the law, is pointing to Jesus. The significance of it is pointing to Jesus. Now, to give you all the detail, I don't know all the detail, but I just see some similarities, okay?
Now, I have a reference written down, and speaking of Jesus, let's look at Hebrews real quick. Y'all turn to the 9th chapter with me, and let's just take a look at verses 13 and 14. And this just speaks about what He's done for us. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood, which is what Pete was just talking about, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, I just wanted just to remind you, we've been talking about Jesus, but what does the Word say about what He's done for us? And I know we can't understand all this and understand the killing of the one bird and the living water. We can shed a little bit of light on that when you look at that word running water. Pete looked it up today, and it can mean fresh. Under fresh water. And that makes sense, doesn't it? But there's a lot to this protocol that's hard for us to understand. But we can understand that Jesus Christ has fulfilled all of this for us, can't we?
You know, you think about it with Jesus as our forerunner. He died, but He rose again without sin. You understand? And you think about an individual, he dies to sin in order to be resurrected as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fresh, living. Mm-hmm. We were dead, but now we become alive. You kill the sin aspect so that the nature of Christ can be lived through one. Not that you can actually literally kill the sin, but you reckon or consider the sinful nature inactive, which would be dead, okay? So that the new creation in Christ can be manifested. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what Jesus wants us to do for Him. Okay?
Very good. And in verse 7, did I read 7? No. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into an open field.
Here again, you see 7 days, right? The completion. You have to go through the whole process. And this is something that I think people miss with salvation. And I'm not trying to complicate salvation, so don't misunderstand me. It's Jesus plus nothing. But I believe there is some process involved in being introduced to Jesus, believing in him, then making the confession, but there's something that follows. It's living the life. And a lot of people think they can just make a confession without living the life. And my question is, if you're saved, what are you saved from? You're saved from an old lifestyle. You follow me? And so there has to be a completion. He who endures to the end is saved. Not he who starts the race, but he who finishes. Do you with me? And we're growing in grace. Now he tells us in Peter to desire, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, you did run well. Who hindered you? You started out good, but now you've got off on some doctrine that's not God. Stay with the milk of the word to grow to where you can start taking more solid food and become a mature, born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people want to make a confession, but they don't want to make a commitment. And if you're going to be saved and live with God eternally, there is a commitment that you must make, not just a confession.
That's good. And if you look at this leper, if he wanted to be cleansed, he had to make a commitment to the cleansing. Because look what he has to do. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. He has to shave. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows. Even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean.
This is what my mama would call squeaky clean.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
You don't leave any residue.
Yeah.
And cleanse yourself totally and completely. I was thinking, you know, in the Revelation, again, we find, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. Get away from it. Identify yourself as totally different, one dedicated to the Lord, clean by the Lord, not by your works. It's not works of righteousness. It's Jesus' work that gives us righteousness. Okay?
Verse 10. And on the 8th day, he shall take 2 he-lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the 1st year without blemish, and 3 tenths of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil.
So there's a inspection that leads to a, note this, ceremonial cleaning. This is what the law is, this ceremonial cleaning. But Jesus is not a ceremonial cleaning. It is a purging to where your conscience is not even guilty.
Yeah.
Then you think about it. I'm here again, I look back at my own life. I was a rascal. And I always had a guilty conscience, even though I'd go to church. I mean, I'd attend church every Sunday and all that, but I always had a guilty conscience. But when I come clean, when I got to the point that I was serious about the Lord and I came clean with Him and allowed Him to clean me up, there's no more guilt. It's like Paul. You think about Paul. Here's the guy that was persecuting Christians, having them put to death, put in prison, their goods confiscated, and all this stuff. And yet this man, after his encounter with the Lord, could make the statement, I haven't wronged anyone. I have a conscience void of offense. So it's not a ceremonial cleansing to the believer. It's a purging to where even the conscience now says not guilty. I'm not guilty. Why? Because the punishment has already been borne. Yes, there was guilt, there was judgment, there was a sentence passed, but someone took that for me as my substitute. And so I am one with the substitute. So I'm purged. You understand? You can't try me for something that's the crime's already been paid.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing when you
it is really amazing.
You think about it.
Yeah. Verse 11, and the priest that makes him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
And you know, I can't give you all the significance of, for instance, the two rams with no physical defects, a year-old female lamb with no physical defects, 6 quarts of flour mixed with oil, and 2/3 part of a oil, a pint, actually, 2/3 of a pint of oil. And I don't know what all this means. I know that it was part of the ceremonial cleansing. The person was to take, or the priest was to take this person through this, and the sacrifices were at the entrance of the tabernacle courtyard. So the person brought this to the priest, and the priest is ceremonially cleansing him. Okay? We come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He cleanses us completely, thank God.
That's good. I'm a little bit behind you. I got a little bit behind you here. So when you look, I was looking at verse 11. So when we go back, what Pete was talking about, when you look at that verse 12, the priest had to take a lamb and offer it with as a trespass offering. And then that it had to be waved before the Lord. And so there had to be a full recognition here of what was being offered to the Lord. And then as Pete was saying, that the lamb that was slaughtered and the burnt offering that came with it. And so this process of purification was a serious one. And it had to be done God's way to get God's result. And not just the offering. If you look at that verse 14, I'm going to read that with you. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Now, doesn't that sound familiar to you? Haven't we read that before? Do you remember when the priests were being set apart, ordained for service? And so here again, Pete mentioned about the total man being cleansed. And I do believe that points to everything, spiritually speaking. We're going to take care of the physical body, but you know, how Jesus, if we'll allow His Word to penetrate our heart, it can affect our soul, and it should affect our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and what we hear with the, and how we react to the Word, what we do with it, where we go, how we carry ourselves, our lifestyle. All of this, this is talking about a total cleansing of the person with leprosy.
And here again, the thing to glean from this is this is the protocol is laid out in the law. Mm-hmm. Or I could say it this way. You must do it God's way in order to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
If the person that was wanting to be cleansed of this leprosy through this purification ceremony, he had to do it exactly the way God had it laid out. And the priest had to do it exactly the way God had it laid out. So that tells me that if you're going to get your sin remitted, and if you're going to be declared clean before God, it will be God's way, it will be God's method, not a method that you design. And God's method is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is the only way you can be pronounced clean.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, our time's up, so we're going to have to stop here. So.
That was excellent. I'll mark verse 19.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed to enlarge your territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend.